chosen generation, called for to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, is I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at. I know who I am, I know who God says I am, what he says I am, where he says I'm at.
Conquered. could it keep you out? You reign, you reign. The devil couldn't keep you down. The grave couldn't keep you in. The hell couldn't keep you out. You reign, you reign.
Your name is higher, it's higher. Your name is higher.
And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Everyone overcome. Come on, sing it with me.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Everyone overcome.
Oh,
we will overcome
by your blood, Lord. Shout. I need to hear a shout. I can only hear. Hey.
half of this, I need to hear a shout, because God overcame the grave for all of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. The ground began to shake.
We We didn't come to church to be entertained. We came to church to engage with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I see you slip your hands in the air from the back to the front? Come on, let's engage the King. I'm telling you, He inhabits the praises of His people, so He's here. Engage Him. We're going to sing from the back to the front, just that hallelujah portion. Go ahead with your heart. Let your hands match your heart, a full surrender. Give Him the highest praise, which is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, lift up your voice from the back to the front. Whether it's good, it's bad, it doesn't matter. Let it flow from your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just the voices. Let me hear you.
We sing.
Come on, all the way across this place. Hallelujah.
We sing.
Come on, sounds beautiful. Just a glimpse of heaven. Come on. Come on, last time, hear those voices. Let me hear the voices. Come on, give it to Jesus. Come on, just the voices. You sound beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Can I hear a mighty shout for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this place? Is that all you got? Is that all you have for your King? And the word has said, Mary went and washed and anointed Jesus' feet with an alabaster box of oil. And the Pharisees said, well, I don't understand. And Jesus went into a story of someone being forgiven. He said, those who have been forgiven much have much to praise for. Come on. If you've been forgiven of much, can I hear a mighty shout unto Jesus? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for paying a price I couldn't. Thank you for affording what I could never pay for. Welcome to His Tabernacle online. I'm praying that you're getting the same experience we are here, because the King is alive. He's here. We love Him. He loves you. Man, I'm excited for an amazing service. So what we're going to do, don't worry. Our praise isn't over. We're going to just transition. On the way back to your seat, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Go find five people you do not know and show them the love of Christ. Because I'm telling you, church is not just about coming. It's about engaging. Engaging with the Lord and engaging others. So go find 3 to 4 people you don't know. Let them know you love them. Let them know you're excited to see them in the house. We can go ahead and put that countdown on and get the announcements ready. Come on, shake a couple hands. Get out of that seat. Get uncomfortable. This is your family. You got to put up with them in heaven. And if you're online, I know it's hard for you to engage, but there's a chat box right next to the screen. Go ahead and engage with us on that chat box. We'd love to see where you're watching from. We'd love to get to know you. We love our family there. If you can make a trip out, September 13th, we have a tent revival in Grove Park. We'd love to see you at that as well. 50 seconds left. Too many people are sitting down. You got 45 seconds left to show the love real quick. 40 seconds left. Come on. Don't sit down. Show some love to somebody.
Why we do it?
I do it for the turn up.
His Tab, I have an awesome opportunity for you. We are going to go soul winning on July 23rd. It's a Saturday. We're meeting at noon all the way up until 2 p.m. The Bible says to go and preach the gospel to all the world. And so we're giving you an opportunity to go spread the gospel in our community. So again, it's on Saturday, July 23rd. Noon to 2 p.m. We're going to do a training class in the beginning, and then we're going to go out and we're going to hit the streets. So come on out. Let's bring Jesus to the streets and make an impact.
To the hotel, the Father's arms are...
Heard them talking like they had bang. Somebody got them gassed up on that octane. Look, I hate to tell them they ain't better. Better get an umbrella, got rain. Let's go back in time to late. Hold me down, that's where they made me. When I'm back there, ain't vacating. Why? Feels like I'm home, think I'm about staying. I ain't staying up. Ooh, I really, yeah. Don't start staying.
You worship, there's a place in worship where problems cannot follow you. Everything's weighting you down. It's falling everywhere. You can't walk. You can't move. Every time you go somewhere, problems are all over top of you. They're on your back at work. They're on your back at home. They're on your back in church. They will always be with you until you begin to worship. When you start worshiping God, your problems say, I can't go any further than that, because where you're going now, I'm not allowed to go. That's why I want to go, because trouble, sickness, pain, bondage, despair, it can't go into worship. Touch somebody and say, take me into worship.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? I don't know about you, but I am excited to be in the house of the Lord. Can we jump to our feet one more time and give our God a shout of praise? I don't know if y'all heard Pastor Cody before, but praise is powerful. Praise will tear down your walls. Praise will confuse the enemy. Praise will tell your haters, I don't like you, but I still gotta bless you. I need you to open up your mouth and give your God a shout of praise. Hey! Yeah, amen, amen. You are welcome to take your seat. Thank you so much for coming out to have church with us. I love church. Who else loves church? Y'all are churchy. I love it. I love it. If you're watching online, we want to welcome you as well. Thank you so much for being part of our online campus. Who here is, this is your first time in this building. You've never stepped foot within our four walls and you want to just say, hey, I heard about you, want to come and hang out. Amen, amen. Lift your hands high. We love our guests. We have a little gift for y'all, so please keep your hand up. We have two up here. Put your hands together one more time for our guests. We love you guys. After this powerful service, we love to just, you know, meet with you, have some muffins, have some coffee with you. So over on this side of the building, right after service, we have a guest reception. Love to meet with you, just chat with you guys a little bit more, let you guys know who we're about. Amen. As y'all can tell, Pastor Rhonda and Pastor Spencer are not here today. We want to just extend them our love. They're on their way back from Florida. So pastors, we love you. We appreciate you. We honor you. So come on, put it together for your pastors. Amen. Not many pastors entrust their staff to run the service, so we're thankful for them. Amen? Who else do we need to say hi to? Oh, I think we're good. At this time, we'd like to receive the offering. Who is excited to give? Who is excited to give to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Ushers, if you could help me to pass out the offering, I just have a quick thing I'd like to share with y'all. I want to talk to you about the seed that will open doors. Who here feels like there's some doors in their life that are closed? That no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you come here and you hoop and you holler and you do backflips into the tank, no matter what you do, a door just never seems to open. Who's felt like that? Well, let me take you to Genesis chapter 26. There's a man by the name of Isaac who has felt that same way. You see, Isaac is the descendant of Abraham, so he is blessed because his father is blessed. Amen? So there are some things that he has inherited from his father, and those things are wells. Come on, somebody say wells. But unfortunately, the opposition, the enemies in that region, they said, well, I don't care what you think. We're going to take this well from you. So what does Isaac do? He goes and he digs another well. Say, dig another well. Good, good, good. So now he's dug a well. Those same people came and they said, well, this is our land, so this is our well. Okay, so now Isaac has two options. Do I stop digging or do I go and keep digging? So Isaac decides, you know what, I'm going to give this one more shot. So he goes and he digs another well. Shout another well. Unfortunately, the enemy comes back and says, I want to take this from you too. Who's ever felt like that? Pastors up here saying, no, I need you to give your time and to sow and to get plugged in. And no matter what you do, the enemy seems to come back and take away your well. So here we are. We are like Isaac. We've tried it once. We've tried it twice. Now we're stuck with a decision. Option one, I'm not going to dig another well. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to stop. I am tired of the enemy taking what I have, what I've worked for, what I've slaved for, what I've invested for. I'm done. Or option two, I don't care what my circumstance looks like. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. If my God said that he's going to bless me, then he's going to bless me. And I know that I serve a God who will never lie about his promises. He is not a man that he will lie. I know that I serve a God that said if he's going to do it, he's going to do it. I serve a God that said no matter where I'm at, he's going to pull me out. Then he's going to push me forward. I serve a God that says that I'm going to bless you and I'm going to supply you according to my riches and my glory. I serve a God that said that he can open up a door that no man can shut. That's the type of God that I serve. I can either look at my circumstance or look at my promise. So Isaac, being the smart man, says, I'm going to look at my promise. I don't care what you've done in the past. I'm looking to my future. Today, I challenge you with your tithe, your seed, and your offering. Let's dig another well. Because guess what? Isaac dug one more well. And the Bible said that nobody came against that well. And he called that place Rehoboth, which means to make room, to enlarge, to make wide. I'm here to tell you today by the Spirit and by the power of God. Your seed is going to unlock a door that no man can shut. Your seed is going to dig a well that will not dry up. Your seed is going to come through and no enemy of yours can come and take what God has promised for you. I believe today that doors are about to be open. I believe today that God's about to make room for you because of your seed today. Who believes that in this place? I need you to jump up to your feet with some excitement in you. Come on, this might be the hardest seed you've ever given. This might be the worst week you said, either I tithe or I die. But I challenge you today, when you tithe, God will not only supply, he will increase. Amen. Are you with me? If you see today, you're seeding into good ground. This is good, good ground. And the Bible declares if it's in good ground, it will come back. Amen. So if you're ready with the offering, put it up in the air. Say, Lord, I've heard your word. I put a command on my seed to open doors and to make room. So I know that if I obey, that I'm blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They are tripping me up because I'm a child of God. Shout it out. I'm a child of God. Now declare with everything that is in you from the pit of your belly that I am blessed. I'm blessed. I am blessed. If you're ready with your offering, feel free to come down and put it in the bucket. If you're watching online, please click on the giving button. And we'd love for you to worship with us. Amen. We love you and we bless you.
We are a chosen generation, called for to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me. Chosen generation.
morning. How are you guys doing today? Sleeping. It's 11 o'clock. You guys are supposed to be the ones that are awake. How are you doing today? Awesome. Well, as you can see, Pastor Mike and Pastor Rhonda are out of town with Bishop. So I'd like to pray for them real quick as they come back home today, later afternoon. Let's just bow our heads. Father, I thank you for an amazing pastor, and I thank you for his heart for the people here, the heart for the region, Lord, that he loves us and only desires to propel us forward. So thank you, Lord, for such an amazing pastor. Bless him on his way home. Let him come back refreshed and ready to roll. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm excited. First service, I'm not used to preaching two services. I'm used to just preaching once on a Thursday. It was really easy. But I have a question and a thought today that I'd like to challenge you with. Has anybody ever tried to explain something to somebody and it was very, very clear to you, but they couldn't seem to understand it? Has anybody ever had that happen with like a wife or a husband and you're just getting out of control, frustrated? Like, it's very simple. It's very clear. This is what it is. Like, you can give the finest, easiest, simplest detail. It can be all the way down to like, look, take 5-6-inch steps, turn right at the counter, take 3 steps, take 1 back, look to your right, open the counter door, don't look down, look at the shelf, 6 up. 3 inches over, and I need that. And they're like, what? I don't see it. Are you kidding me? It's right there. It's evident. It's right in front of your eyes. I get really frustrated with things like that. I think really half the time I'm just not explaining it properly, but it's very annoying. Today, I want to preach to you out of John chapter 4. And this is such an amazing illustration kind of our lives. And I'm more than excited about it. If you have your Bible, you can go to John chapter 4. And we're going to start up in verse 6. And I'm going to read some chunks, and then I want to explain to you what I feel like God is really saying out of these. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refuse to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you were speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." See, today I want to bring up the point that a lot of times we fail to realize all that God is truly offering us. That oftentimes we encounter Jesus, we encounter his presence, but we fail to really recognize and realize the fullness of what he has for us. And even if sometimes we do recognize it, because very clear, he said, I'm offering you living water. Oftentimes, we do the same thing this woman at the well did, where she drew a line in the sand, recognizing the differences rather than the call. See, it's easy for us when we come in front of Jesus or we're in the house of God and we hear a message like, wow, that's amazing. I want that in my life. I desire that for myself. But then we sit back and we draw the same differences that this woman did. She said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan." We truly have nothing in common. See, we do the same thing, just a little bit different. "Well, God, you don't know my sins, and you don't know my issues. You don't know how deep, you don't know how disgusting, you don't know how much different they truly are from you." And we create a separation that God is trying to close. We feel it, you don't know my issue with this. And we have all of these excuses to ignore what God is offering with an open hand. Because he didn't tell her that you have to like pay me $5,000 for this living water. He didn't say, "Well, you know what? It's going to cost you really, really heavy. You're going to have to do 6 backflips. He didn't do any of these things. He said, "You would know that I have living water." But she immediately starts throwing it up. "Well, we have differences. Well, there's a separation between us." See, as the body of Christ, we have to recognize and realize that while there were differences, while there was a separation, that God has closed that gap. And while those things may have occurred, God has closed them, thrown them as far as the east is to the west, and He remembers them no more. So if He remembers them no more, why do we hold our destiny hostage? Why do we hold those things that He's promised us hostage by our own condemnation? We hold ourselves hostage so often. We look at all the wrong things while Jesus is offering everything we truly need. And she responded, and this is what I really want to talk about today. She responded and said, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" She came up with a list of excuses on why God could never actually fulfill the need for water in her life, because she had everything she needed, but it seemed like he was lacking something. See, I want to let you know that today, this picture of this woman is really kind of a picture of our own lives. We can come and say, "Well, God, I need a raise, but I don't know how you're going to do it. God, I need some emotional healing. I need to be set free from some things, but it's just impossible for you to do it because you don't have the means to accomplish that. Well, God, I need freedom from this, but you don't have the ability to set me free because it's so deep. It's so hurtful. It's so painful. Well, God, this cycle that I've been in for years and years and years, no one's ever broken it, and apparently you can't either, or you would have already done it." Our lives so often look exactly like this Samaritan woman. See, when I read her response, I read it through the eyes of like a 15-year-old teenage girl. I do the youth ministry here. I experience loads and loads of younger people with attitude working this portion out. Parents, if you can agree, can I shake a hand at me real quick? I think it's safe to say we've all seen these kind of teenagers. And I read it through that same lens. I read it like this: "But sir, you don't even have a bucket." You imagine God saying, "Oh, I have living water." And with attitude, "You don't even have a bucket." You imagine God's response, like rolling his eyes like, "Oh my goodness, she doesn't get it." And not only do you not have a bucket, but it's really deep. And it's really deep. But not only is it really deep, it's got great history. And she goes on and on and on with these excuses. "Well, God, you say you have this water, but you don't even have a bucket to give it to me. Well, God, you say you have this ability, but you don't even have a way to deliver it to me. How would this truly happen?" I feel like this is such a picture of our own lives, where the Word of God promises such deep things, such amazing things, but we look at it and say, "Well, God, I know you've said it, but you don't even have a way to get it to me. In fact, you don't have a way to get it to me, but I have a way to get my own water. See, I have a bucket, and I have a rope, and I know that this water is good because I've been drawing from it for years, and Jacob built it, and his family drank from it, and if it was good for them, it's got to be good for me." See, too often, this is the same parallels we draw in our lives. "Well, God, I know you've promised me a great thing. I know that you've promised me peace and happiness and love and joy, but I don't see how you could ever get it to me because my emotional state, because of what somebody did to me, because of how this looks, because of how my finances are set up, you can never really deliver it to me. But we'll come to church and we'll raise our hands and we'll get excited, but we'll never truly engage the promise of God." See, we're such a picture of this Samaritan woman standing looking back at him. "Well, you said that I'd get another dollar an hour, but you don't even have a bucket, God. Well, you said that I could be free from this situation, from these feelings, from these emotions, but you don't even have a bucket, God." We sell out so often for the water we can get on our own, for the things we can do on our own. And it doesn't make sense to me, because We can put our trust in a dollar extra an hour over giving him the honor of our Sunday mornings. See, it's crazy to me because we look just like you're saying, well, God, I need a raise. I need some water. I need some of this. And he's saying, well, here's my hand and it's open for you. And I have this living water. I have these promises for you of greater and of prosperity and of love and joy and of peace and all these things that you're already searching for. I have it for you. And our response is the same thing. So, well, God, I don't know how you could do it because my job just offered me another dollar and I'll take it. Well, God, I don't know how you could really take care of and give me peace, so I'm just going to sit here with my alcohol. Or God, I don't know how you're going to fulfill my emotions, so I'm going to do it on my own. We're the same picture as a Samaritan woman saying, well, I know the promise, but I don't trust you enough to fulfill it because I can't see how you'll do it. We put so much trust in the world over the word, and it's wild to me. See, if we can trust him with our eternity, but we can't trust him with our finances, if we can trust him with our eternity, but we can't trust him with our love and our joy and our peace, so we have to create our own, if we can't trust him with anything that he's promised, how could we truly trust him that he's our way to heaven? See, we'll trust him all day for heaven, but we can't trust him for the simple things in life. We can't trust him for the small things in life. See, this is such a picture of us, and I'm sick of seeing Christians running around having to create their own when God is already having it, resting in his hand, saying, I'm right here, I'm waiting, I'm willing, I purchased it, I bought it, it's paid for, it's done, it's for you. And our response is, well, I have a bucket and you don't. Well, I have a way to do it and you don't. Don't we see this all the time? So, God, I want peace, but I don't know how you could really do it, so let me find it on my own. So can I tell you, this is such a truth throughout the Word of God, even dating back to Adam and Eve, dating back to Abraham. Abraham, let's take him for a quick example. God promised him a son. Said, your son, he's going to pass on your name, and he's going to be a gift from me, and he's an old man. And he's like, all right, okay. And he waits years and years and years. And the promise of God never came, and he's looking and said, well, I'm an old man. I don't know how I could actually create a son. I don't know how I could do this. And takes it into his own hands. He tries to fulfill the promise through his own ways. And what he gets is Ishmael. And if you know anything about Ishmael, he was absolutely an issue in the home. Not only that, but he's a thorn in the side. Still today, the nation of Islam flowed from his life because one person tried to create his own promise instead of allowing God to bring it into his life. See, if you have to create your own promises, if you have to create your own things, then you're going to get something that you never truly desired. But if you allow God to put that promise into your life, you don't even have to work for it. He's going to drop that into your life when you're obedient to his word, and it's going to be everything that he promised. You're not going to have to chase him out of town with the lady you were sleeping with. You're going to be able to actually enjoy what he's given you already. But this is the cycle of the world. We see people all the time, man, they'll create their own promise instead of actually allowing God to place it into their life. See, I think drug users are a great example of how we search for true satisfaction. See, drug users and all those people, as a church, we love them. We love anybody, everybody, point blank, period. It doesn't matter who you are. But can I tell you that these drug users, those kind of people, they're searching for something. They're searching for an answer. They're searching for a satisfaction. They're searching for something deeper and something greater. And I don't even fault them for searching deeper and greater because they're on a journey to find what they really need. And I believe that as the church, we know what they really need. We have what they really need, and that's Christ Jesus. But if we never get out and let them know, they'll keep searching and they'll get a little bit of satisfaction and it will wear off. And then they got to go and get more and it'll wear off and it'll wear off and it'll wear off. and then they'll go and they'll go another level to get a greater level of satisfaction because they think that might be the fulfillment of what they're really looking for. But can I tell you that it's not just drug dealers, it's anybody that has to create their own promise that God has already laid out there. If you got to make your own peace, it's going to wash away. If you have to make your own satisfaction, it's going to wash away. If you have to make your own joy, it's going to wash away. Those things are only truly found in Christ Jesus when you allow him to place him into your life. But if we have to make it, we'll always have to make it. I was talking to a young man not too long ago, and I think he's got a call of God on his life for ministry. And he really wants to go to school for something else, and he'll be successful in whatever he does. But I posed this question to him, are you okay with being successful but not be truly satisfied? Because you can have success in the world, but satisfaction will always wear off unless you're living in what God has set for you. See, the only way you can truly have success and satisfaction is when you live out the purpose that God has laid for you. Because we see it with famous people. We see it with people who have money. We see it with people who seem to have all the happiness and joy. It wears off eventually, and they have to try to make it happen again. Can we as a body stop trying to make things happen on our own and allow God to place it inside of us? Because what we're really looking for isn't success, it's satisfaction. And when you can have satisfaction, God will also make it success in your life. A couple people believe it. And Jesus replied to her. He said, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. That's what I was just saying. You'll become thirsty again. Jesus looked at her plainly and said, if you keep drawing from the wells of the world, if you keep taking water from these wells, you're going to become thirsty again. You're going to have to come back with your bucket and your rope, and you're going to have to chuck the bucket and the rope in, and you're going to have to pull it up every single day just to get your fill again. And day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, you're going to have to walk back to this well. You're going to have to draw the water and have a temporary satisfaction every single time. And he says, I don't want you to have a temporary satisfaction. He said, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. See, he said, I have the answer. You don't have to come back to the well. You can drink of this once. You can taste of this once, and it will be fresh every morning because my mercies are new every morning, because my peace is with you, that my goodness and mercy, they're with you. She said, please, sir. She changed her tone quick. I feel like teenagers do the same thing. When they're not getting their way, they're really attitudinal, and then they hear something they like, and they'll change their tone really fast. It's like two-year-olds, too. Shout out, Sophia. She said, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water. Can I tell you, this revelation she had, this truth that she started to understand, is the same truth that we need to start to understand. That when we stop going back to the wells of the world and start to draw from the well of Christ, because Isaiah 12, it says, therefore with joy, you will draw from the water of the springs of salvation. How powerful is it that he's saying, you can keep going back to the wells of the world, and you can walk back all the time, but I'm telling you today that you can go and experience the wells of salvation that are deep and they're full of joy. And it's not hard to get. It's not difficult to pull out. It's not a painstaking walk. He's saying, I'm right here. I have it in my hand. It's for you. It's for you. He says, anyone who drinks of this water, but those who drink the water I give will not be thirsty again. The desire for Jesus is the beginning. The desire for Jesus is the building ground of this gift. See, I think we desire Jesus, but we're so scared to let go of the things we already know that we actually don't get to experience all that he has for us. because we know how to go to work. We know how to get a temporary satisfaction in a man and a woman, or with drugs or alcohol. Or we know how to release our anger and let ourselves feel a little bit better because we are pent up. Or we know how to run away to a corner when God has called us in front of a crowd because that's more comfortable. See, it doesn't have to be the big things. There's some deeper things we got to recognize where Jesus is saying, I have this for you. And we got to stop looking at him back and say, well, you don't have a bucket to get it to me. You don't have an ability to put this into my life. You don't have what it takes to give it to me. She said, give me this water. See, I think there's some people that are so sick of the world and sick of the temporary satisfaction and sick of what the promise is, but there's never a true fulfillment of that promise. She got sick of what the world was offering. She got sick of going to that well every day. She got sick of having to take the journey and just go back and turn around because she was missing something. That she said, I want it. I don't want to come back here anymore. I don't want to visit the things of the world. I don't want to have to go to the bar to find someone to pacify my needs. I don't want to have to go back to this situation just to pacify how I feel. I don't want to have to return to it, but I want to experience something once and be set free. Because see, when you keep going back, it's frustrating. When you keep going back, you got to dive deeper. It gets old and dull and boring. But with Christ, it says a fresh, bubbling. You don't have to have the old. God is saying, I have something fresh for you. I have something new for you. I have something new every single day to release into your life from my promises, from this well of salvation. Everything we need is found in what Jesus offered. I'm telling you, if you can stop going to the wells of the world and start to go to Jesus every time, he has everything you already need. You will never draw what you need if you draw from the wells of the world. You'll only draw something temporary. You'll only draw something that's full of lies. You'll only draw something that has a little bit of what you're truly looking for because it will try to keep you. See, sin, it will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. And it will hold you longer than you ever really wanted to stay. And if you keep going back to it, you're going to have to keep going back to it. But can I tell you such a great thing? As while she was going back to that well every day, Jesus showed up on the scene. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, he said, I got it for you once. And you have that same ability, the same promise, the same thing waiting for you, where you can go back and forth all you want, but Jesus is still waiting there for you, saying, I have every single thing you need. I have it available in my hand, and I want to release it to you. But I believe as Christians, why we never get there is we fail to realize the identity of who we're really serving. See, we serve a God who's named also Jehovah Jireh, which is my provider. And if we look at him as just a get out of jail free card or I'll miss out on hell instead of my provider, then we'll go back to the world every time. But when we look at him as also my provider for the things I need in life, because I'm telling you, when Jesus is described in Matthew 1:21, one of the words he came for was sozo, which is a wholeness. See, he came for you to be whole in your body, your soul, and your spirit. He came across the board to make you whole. So every single thing you need is inside of Jesus. And if we can come to him instead of the world, we can actually become whole. That's his desire. That's what he truly wants inside of us. And his nature is to provide that. Genesis 22:14 is the first time we see that, in case you don't believe me, with Abraham. But this is also a New Testament promise. In Matthew 6, verses like 26 through 34, Jesus is saying, don't worry about where you're going to sleep. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what clothes you're going to wear. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. See, this is a promise. This is a principle that goes throughout the word of God, that when you rely on him, when you lay everything else down, when you lay down the dependency of the world, when you lay down the truth you know of the world, when you lay those things behind you and turn to Jesus, everything you are looking for in the world, he's going to release into your life. But we have to stop trying to do it on our own. I don't understand why we act like we serve a God who can't provide what we need. It's crazy. Like, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Just a small description of his richness. The roads in heaven are paved with gold. I'm pretty sure that he's got a piece of cement to take care of what you need, of gold. Why do we act like we serve a God who can't take care of everything we need. If he promised wholeness, he has wholeness. If he promised full freedom, he has full freedom. If he's promised these things, we do not have to create them on our own. It's funny. Jesus looked at her and said, okay, if you want this water, go get your husband. And I can see you're just like, well, you see, what had happened was, I don't have a husband, Jesus. And he said, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had 5 husbands. And you're not even married to the man you're living with now. So you're certainly telling the truth that you don't have a husband. I want to let you know that when you finally open up to Jesus, he identifies the things you've drawn from the world so he can take care of them. He's not there to destroy you. He's not there to beat you up. He's there to make you whole. And when you can open up your heart fully to Jesus, I described it like this one of the last times I preached. Who's been to like a beach house or something like that, or rented a condo or something? Most of the time when you go there, or to His Thousand Hills, most of the time when you go to a place like this, you have access to every door and every area of the house except for one, which is normally the owner's closet. Well, they'll keep like their cleaning supplies, and they'll keep the stuff that they don't want the people renting the house to touch. See, that's a picture of our own lives. We have an owner's closet so often where we say, God, you have access to all this stuff, except for this place. You know, this one, it's messy, and I got some stuff hidden there that I really don't want you to touch. But when you open your heart fully to Jesus, he's going to identify what you've drawn from the world so he can extract it and put in what he really has for you. I want to let you know that it was never really about the water. It was about his desire to fulfill you. It wasn't really about the water. It was about his desire to fulfill you. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing lost. So if his desire is for his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then he doesn't desire for you to be broken, he desires for you to be fulfilled. But you'll remain unfulfilled as long as you make things happen outside of Jesus. Doesn't matter the money, the boy, the girl, the status, it does not matter. You remain unsatisfied every time. There's some pretty cool numbers inside of the story. Remember, he said you had 5 husbands. 5 represents the number of grace. And you're sleeping with the 6th man right now. Number 6 in the Bible represents the number of man, or things that we've made happen on our own. And number 7, the 7th man she was talking to was Jesus when he showed up on the scene, saying, I have grace for what you've done. You've clearly done some stuff, but here I am right now. And the next man, number 8, is a representative of new beginnings. He's saying, I have grace for what you've done. I see that you've taken things into your own hand, but here I am right now. And if you'll walk with me and you'll take what I'm offering of you, if you'll take this living water, it doesn't matter about what's happened in the past. I have a new beginning for you as you take a step forward. See, we tell God he doesn't have a bucket, but all before, even before he asked for a drink, he knew what she was going through. See, even before you come to Jesus, he knows what you're going through. He knows what you've experienced. He knows the things that you've done. He knows what you've tried to create on your own. And as you come before him, he's saying, you know what? I'm taking care of that in the past because you desire what I have. And I know you've done things on your own, but here I am, and here's a new beginning. Doesn't he say, behold, the old has passed away, the new is here? You're a new creation when you've come to Christ, and you have a new beginning and a new time and a new ability to step forward in what God has called of you. And she says, sir, you must be a prophet. Something like that. So tell me. And they go on, and she says, I know the Messiah. I know he's coming. The one who called is Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And he said, I am the Messiah. It's powerful because he literally walked into this woman's life that was in shambles. It was a mess because what she was searching for, she was trying to find in the world and clearly had no good results. Five husbands sleeping with one. That's in shambles. Can I tell you that you might not have had like five husbands or five wives, but you've gone around the same tree four or five times trying to make things happen on your own? That we've gone around trying to fulfill things on our own multiple times? And Jesus is looking and saying, yeah, I know that I don't have a natural way to do it. I don't have a bucket, but I have a living water for you. I have a freshness for you. Because you don't have to keep going around this. You don't have to keep trying to do it on your own, but I have it already prepared for you. And I know where you are, and I know what you've done, and I know your excuses, and I don't care because I love you, and I paid the price for you, and I'm right here, and I have it waiting for you. Can we stop saying, well, God, you don't have a bucket. You don't have a way to do it. Can we just trust in the process of him saying, I love you, and I'm going to give it to you, and with faith let him do it? But that's the issue. We have faith more in the world than we have of God. We have more faith that a dollar an hour is going to make us happy than we do showing up and honoring God. That going to the bar and finding somebody to take care of your needs is going to take care of your needs more than God can. That maybe jumping on that internet site will take care of your needs more than God can. That maybe treating your spouse that way can take care of you and give you some sense of sick satisfaction instead of what God can do. What is it? Because he's literally right there saying, I have it for you. I want to give it to you. I paid the price. I paid the bill. Something you could never afford. But somehow we stand on the side, well, God, you don't have a bucket. What? Does he need a bucket? The one that created the heavens and the earth. Like she said, the well is deep, like he didn't know. The world was created through him. Like he didn't know who already made those things, that well, and that the water was good. He didn't already know all of these things. And she's looking and say, well, I don't know, God. But after she experiences the truth, she gets everything she was already looking for. We got to stop looking at the facts and decide to turn our faith to the truth. That is, if Jesus said it, he has it for you. And if he said it for you, it's promised to you. And if it's promised to you, all you have to do is turn your back on that well and turn it towards him. It's powerful because she starts running through the village and says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I did. Can you imagine what your life can look like? The excitement you can get when Jesus truly sets you free of all the junk, all the things you try to create on your own, that happiness and that peace and that joy you try to make on your own, and Jesus walks on the scene, and in one instant, it's done. She goes running through the town. She says, he set me free. He set me free. He told me everything that I did. He set me free. You got to come and see him. And she influences the city to say, you know what? You guys know my story. You know the struggle I went through. But he set me free. You got to come and see him. You got to come and experience his love. You got to come experience his promise. People asked him to stay so he could share, and the city was shaped and shifted and changed. Can I tell you that we have to stop looking at the promises of God and identifying our differences and identifying the stumbling block and identifying the reasons we could never go. And we have to lay them down and say, well, God, I know that you don't have what I have, but I know you can do far more than I can. So my faith, I'm going to put my trust in you. Can we stop looking at God and say, well, you don't even have a bucket? He doesn't need one. He has it for you. It's paid for. It's bought. But if we continue to try to do it on our own, we'll continue to get the same results, and we'll continue to live the same frustrating lifestyle, and you can continue to blame it on God, but he's still right there saying, nope, you just have to lay it down for me. You just have to walk away from it, and I already have what you need. You can keep doing it. And I feel bad for you. I pray for you that you can have the same revelation as her, that I don't have to keep coming back every day. I don't have to keep going back and fighting for it. I don't have to wait in the heat. I don't got to walk in the sun. And I don't have to throw the bucket down. And I don't have to struggle to pull it up because water's pretty heavy. And I don't have to walk all the way home just to turn around and do it again. But I can find every single thing I need in Jesus. And when I find it in Jesus, it's not going to pass away and it's not going to diminish. But I'm telling you, it's going to grow and grow and grow. And he's going to place those things inside you that you already desire, that you already want. He has it waiting for you. It's there for you. It's available. Man, I was telling the teenagers on Thursday that we have to love God and hate sin. I don't know how as Christians... We've gotten to the point where we love God and sympathize with sin. No, I hate sin because sin is death. And I hate death. I hate cancer. I hate separation from God. I don't understand as Christians how we can say, well, you know, they're just doing their thing and they'll be okay. And it's kind of hard to really describe in the word, like, they drank, but they didn't get drunk. And we try to weigh it out. Man, forget that. I love God and I hate sin and anything that represents it. And if we can get to that point, we can draw from the right well. But if we keep playing games and sympathizing with what separates us and brings death into our lives, then we'll continue to go around it. I love God and I hate sin. Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I know most of the time when I preach, I try to get you shouting and excited. But I want you to look at your own life. Every person in here, you have a different story. You've had different encounters and different experiences. And you might say, you know what? I'm a sinner just like the Samaritan woman. I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never truly given everything to him. Or you know what? You might say, I've been in church for 20 years, but I have this one thing hidden. I got this one thing that I've never let go. I got this one thing I keep looking at God and saying, you don't even have the bucket that you need. It's really deep and you can't take care of it. I've buried it so far. Or anyone in between. And all of these things shall be added unto you. It's very simple. You don't have to be like a rocket scientist with 12 English degrees to understand what Jesus is saying. Seek me, live right, and I'm going to give you everything you already want. Or you can keep going back to everything you created on your own every single day and never getting what you want. It's very simple. With your heads bowed real quick, I have a question. I believe there's some people in here, you've never given your life to Jesus. Or you've walked away. You said, I once served him, but now I don't know where I stand. But today, I want to give him my all because I know he has everything for me. That's you today. You said, I want to give my life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm ready to surrender everything so I can have heaven on earth. And I can spend my eternity with him. If that's you, can I see you you just rocket your hand into the air quickly and boldly. Amen. 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 Thank you all across this place. Amen. Can everybody in this place stand? And as you stand, don't go anywhere. If you raise your hand, can you make your way up front with us real quick? As a family, let's celebrate the decision they just made. Go ahead and put your hands together. Can you make your way up front? Minister Randall's going to meet you up here. He's going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Give them a couple minutes. We got some people coming from the back. Come on, don't let the angels out shout you. The word says that all of heaven rejoices. We got, if it was for one soul, I'd be rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He set me free. He set me free. Hallelujah. Right over here, sir. Hallelujah. Minister Randall's going to come. He's going to pray with you and give you a Bible and I'm excited. We love you guys. Don't go anywhere. Minister Randall's going to bring you guys over here to pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Christian, can I tell you one of the things I hate about church? Because I love church, and I love almost everything about church. But here's what I don't like. I believe church should be family, okay? Here's what I don't like, because most people have been taught family wrong. Most people, they think family, what it is just like, they think church is like a family reunion where you got to rent a really nice car and put your license plate on it so it doesn't say, like, rental, and show up and look like nothing's wrong in your life. Tell your kids you give them $100 each if they don't talk back, and make sure you go and buy all polo for everybody so you look really good in front of family. That's how church is sometimes. You show up trying to show off. Man, I got this in order, and God blessed me in this, and he did this, and hallelujah, and his mercies do every... Just talking. Just talking. That's not real family. That's a lie. You know what real family is? Come and say, you know what? I got a couple issues, and I'm ready for them to be over with. So I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is what I'm going through, and I pray that you'll help pick me up and work me through it. See, that's what real family is. And if you can sit back and say, well, you know, it's a picture of church. See, too often we put on our nice, we get all studded up, our Sunday best, and we show up and we act like everything is fine and dandy, but at home it's turmoil. Why would we play? As family, I believe that here's where you get healed. Here's where you get picked up. Here's where we rally around you and say, you know what? It's going to be all right. I went through some crap. I went through some junk, and I want to help pick you up. So today, can we not play games when I ask this next question? Because you can go home and encounter the same thing again. Or you cannot. It's up to you. Today, if you're saying, you know, I have something in my life that I keep looking and saying, God, you couldn't do this. You couldn't take care of this. This is off limits to you. Like that little attitudinal 16-year-old girl, well, you don't even have a bucket. That's how you sound to God when you turn things away from him. If that's you in this place, I'm going to challenge you to get out of your seat and come find some rug. So I don't want to lay hands on you. I want you to find some rug, and I want you to make it right with God and say, you know what? I know my junk, and I know my crap, and I know what I hidden, and I know what I blocked off, but today I'm done with it because I want what you've really promised, and I really want the wholeness and the peace and the joy and the satisfaction. So if that's you, I want you to go ahead and get out of your seat right now. I'm not going to count. I'm not going to play games. Right now, if that's you saying, I'm ready to give him my all. I want to lay these things down. We already got people up at the rug before we had to even ask anything. If that's you, you're sick of playing the church game and you want real healing, I want you to get out of your seat right now and come grab some rug and lay your face down in front of Jesus and say, here I am. Here's what I have. You already know it. I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready for something fresh. I'm ready for a new time. And don't play yourself and think, well, I can just sit in my seat and do it right here. No, I asked you and I told you to get out of your seat and come to the front. So can you get out of your seat and come to the front and not pretend and lay it down and let him fulfill you? Amen. I'm going to pray over the rest of you guys. We have a visitor room right over here. Today also we have an Uproar team day. If you want to serve at conference, stick around. We're going to feed you and give you some details. But I'm going to pray over everybody in this room, and then you're free to go. There's still room at the altar. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that from the back to the front, we can serve you with our all. Lord, I pray a full obedience in the name of Jesus to your word that will love you and will hate sin and anything that separates us from you. Lord, I pray right now for Baton Rouge as another attack on police officers. I pray your healing anointing in that city. I pray the churches will step up, that the church won't be a silent voice. We won't let things just pass by, but we'll lead in unity. We'll lead in relationship. I pray right now, Lord, that churches will be awakened across this nation. Not to sit back, but we'll step up and say, this is the way, and his name is Jesus. And I pray that it'll be our church. That is, those things won't happen in our community, but we'll say, this is our church and our region, and we're taking it for Jesus, and we're not going to let these things happen because we're going to point the way. And it's not the one with the microphone. It's every person in a seat. If you believe it and you agree with it, can I hear a mighty amen from the back to the front? Amen. Amen. I love you. Be blessed. Come to Rock Solid Faith. If you want to serve in conference, stick around. We'll feed you in the other room. There's still room at the altar if you need prayer for anything. There's still room at the altar if you're ready to make that life choice.